League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, ESPN, 97.5, Agao Media Station. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
For those of you that are on another planet or hiding under a rock, and you're not driving around H-Town to see that big thing flying around in the air with dicks on it, you have not seen the Dick's blimp. Because I'm here to tell you, Dick's Sporting Goods is coming to H-Town. We're excited about the grand opening of Dick's. It's this weekend. I'm hanging out at the Dick's Sporting Goods in the shops at Park West in Katy, Saturday 4 to 6. I'm bringing Travis Johnson and Keenan McCardell with me as my own private bodyguard. The three of us are going to be at Dick's in Katy from 4 to 6. Come on out and join us. Meet the guys. We'll take some selfies, some pics. You can see just how damn big Travis Johnson is. And you can see how fake Keenan McCardell's teeth are. Because they are pearly white, but they're about as thick as gravestones. We are going to be there 4 to 6 in Katy on Saturday. 4 to 6. We'd love to see you. So, Barry, before the break, we were...
Are we still on the air?
Yeah.
You got into that, and I was like, what happened to Joel?
Well, we like to mix it up.
All right. No, hey, I'm down. Trust me.
I know.
This is great.
Unless I'm down, then you kick me.
I
kicked me if I was down.
I did. I almost used a port. I messed up. I almost said I blew it, but that would have been bad.
We've had a lot of those lately.
I messed up when we had Kevin / Peyton Manning on the phone because we're getting some really good ideas on text. I should have asked him. I should have just had him say, chicken parm, you taste so good.
Yep.
I don't know why I didn't do that. I blew it, guys.
What did you think of that?
Instead, it was a text.
I blew it.
I told you, the other one with the Papa John's thing was the cupcakes are ready, and then you said Omaha, which was great.
We got a text from Ernest who said, great show. I only used to listen to ESPN from mornings until 12 p.m. Didn't know that this would be a good show. So now I've changed my time from 1 to 4 p.m., especially since one of you are a Packers fan, and I'm a Packers fan from Houston, and so you also picked up a couple of other listeners, because I told them, thanks, guys, keep up the good work, go Pack. Listen,
And then, Nick, that's why I said the sound effect that we need is the organ in the stadium that goes, doon, 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 doon.
I will jump out.
We know that your lawyer listeners are out there. Josh and Jason and all you guys. Doc, all you guys. But start telling friends because the station's advertising budget isn't what it should be for us. So we need to tell everybody that we know so that we can spread the word and have people have a landing spot. They're all out there in turmoil of where to go in the afternoons. It's pretty easy. Just come talk to us.
Can I tell you how few people in the city care about the Packers?
It's not true, man.
It is true.
It is not true. If you've been to, like, yesterday we had callers about the Packer bar.
There's only people in Green Bay to begin with.
Man, you are seriously.
So there's like seven of them here in town.
They do have a Packers bar.
Two Packer bars, by the way. And one of them happens to be our sponsor. So if you want to kill Nick's Place, you can. But Nick's Place on Sundays is one. Cheddarhead's is another.
Cheddarhead's.
Yeah, and they fill it up, man.
This is enough Packer talk. We've already talked too much about it. Somebody texted, I think I'm allergic to wasps, but apparently... Somebody said, I've lived 25 years without being stung by a wasp until today when a rogue wasp attacked my leg immediately after you mentioned Tony Romo to Houston. So he said, I don't think I'm allergic to wasps, but apparently wasps are allergic to Tony Romo, and now so am I. It's some Illuminati stuff going on.
Here's the Hooked on Phonics guy reading text.
That's what you did. Huh?
I said, here's the Hooked on Phonics guy reading text.
What did I say wrong?
No, you kicked about three words the first time. You had to reset the deck.
Yeah, because the text came in out of order.
Well,
the last text first.
Well, we can do the same thing with Travis.
This is technology stuff going on over here, Joel.
I like how you guys are arguing over there now.
We do this daily. This is what we do daily. We're like the two guys in the balcony at the Muppet Show, for God's sake.
Last time Barry took the front seat when it was me and Joel arguing. Now it's you two.
Oh. Yeah, we're like the two guys in the balcony of the Muppet Show. We just let it fly.
This is what happens when people get married. They argue.
And we let it fly.
This is cats
versus dogs and kids. It's just what every day goes like. I got
Big Chief from Street Outlaws when you're ready, Barry.
Huh? Let's go. Let's hear it.
This one's probably got a couple passes in it, but I got a new bottle. We can switch out when we get there.
That sounds like Barry.
Do it again, and I'll re-say what he said, and we can tell.
On the CO2?
This one's probably got a couple passes in it, but I got a new bottle. We can switch out when we get there.
This one's probably got a couple passes in it, but I'll get a new bottle and switch it out when we get
there. Okay, maybe it's closer than you think.
Pretty close?
That's pretty similar.
Okay.
I think you tried to say it sound that way.
This one's probably got a couple passes in it, but I got a new bottle. We can switch out when we get there.
Is he handsome? He's got to be handsome.
No, he's a big, swole dude.
He's
completely opposite.
He looks like he's ass bottomed upside down. So he looks like he's got a couple of big cheeks on top of his neck.
Somebody said they don't know what's dumber, Go Pack Go or Bulls on Parade.
Mm. Well, as long as you got a country star singing your little anthem, don't worry about it. Okay, so from there, we've got the conferences out of the way. You covered that. But Jason, the talk will not end for your Aggies, Barry. Jason's calling from Montgomery County, and he wants to talk A&M and Bama this weekend. Jace, welcome to the show.
Hello, how's everybody today?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. Well, I'm a big Bama fan.
Okay.
And there's a lot of respect between both Alabama and A&M, you know, Paul Bear Bryant and whatnot, but I just don't see Texas A&M being able to hang with Bama this weekend.
I don't either, but that's an easy statement to make when you guys have played as good as you've played all year.
Yeah, but you just look at the Tennessee game and you look at the total production by the Tennessee offense, you know, on the A&M defense, and then you look at the lack of production against Bama. It's just it's going to be a good game. I hope it is, but I just think that there's just too much talent.
Jace, what do you call that pattern that Bear had? Is that the houndstooth? Do you have a fedora?
It is a houndstooth hat. It is.
Do you have the hat, the jacket, or maybe some boxers?
I've got the hat. I've got the flag. I've got the houndstooth shoes.
Shoes?
Roll Tide.
What about the boxers?
And the boxers.
There's nothing closer to the grapes than the Bear. Barry, do you have a response with your Aggies?
Saban's done a great job with the program.
Yeah. You can't argue
He really doesn't care, you know,
can't argue
really
that
about Crimson or, you know, but it's more of a business, and he runs it like a business. And we're real fortunate to have him. I know he's got a lot of enemies, but he does have five national championships. So.
All right, man.
Jace, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Your rebuttal, please, Mr. Laminack.
I don't think that the Aggies win this game.
But you didn't think they were going to beat Tennessee.
Yeah, well, they had they got seven turnovers.
I watched it.
And it took overtime to beat a team. How do you get seven turnovers and not win by 21 points? How is that even possible?
Only in the college football game, I think.
I made notes as I watched the game. The very first note that I wrote was Aggies tackling in space is atrocious. That is why they lost. They almost lost that game. That's why seven turnovers wasn't enough to win the game outright. They had to go to overtime and do it. This is the Aggies team. That's why I don't think they should have been six to begin with. That defense is great up front. That front seven, yeah, absolutely one of the best in the nation. Forget just the SEC. I mean, the bookends that they have that can rush the passer. That's great. But they are a poor. They look like the Texans secondary tackling on Sunday. They're a poor tackling team. Well, and you can't do that against Alabama. You just can't do that.
I'll say this too. I mean, the fact of the matter is that just like the Texans, the entire focus has to be on Knight. Because you do have all the weapons. You got a ton of weapens on offense.
Oh, he's not that good of a passer, though.
Understand what I'm just saying?
Yeah.
I said the focus has to be there because you've got all the weapons, but he's got to be able to execute. The only reason why they got on this little run was he finally figured out, instead of trying to make tough throws, he started running the ball. When he ran the ball, they were more successful on offense. I'm not sold on his passing per se.
Yeah.
I do like all the fact that what he brings to the table with his running game, but I think that much like when we talk about Belichick and the Patriots and what they're going to take away, they're going to try and take away as much of the running game as possible and make Knight beat them in the air.
Well, I don't know the injury status on Ford. I don't know if he's going to play, but I will tell you they're going to need all hands on deck. The Aggies, I'm speaking of, they're going to need Kevin Ford. They're going to need Williams. They're going to need some depth in the backfield because that's the thing that everyone's been talking about already is how deep Alabama is, and that their second team might be better than the Aggies' first team up front. I mean, that's a deep team, and you better be able to run the ball effectively if you're going to have any chance, because ball control against Alabama is key. That's the only way that I could see a team beating Alabama is you're going to have to hold the ball longer than them and have a really good defense. Now, the Aggies overall defensively, I'm not saying they're great, but they're good because, again, they don't tackle in space well. But if they can control the ball and they can you know, keep cycling in running backs, then they may have a chance to keep it close. But I just don't see how anyone in the nation right now beats Alabama.
Barry Corso and Joel Blank until 4 p.m. right here, ESPN 97.5.
This is Dick's Sporting Goods Week on ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel and Gary until 4 with Dick behind the glass.
What?
And don't forget that there is a lot of Dicks coming to Houston starting this weekend because of the fact that Dick's Sporting Goods is opening up all over our fair city.
I am so proud of you.
Yes.
For running with this.
Yes.
I really am.
I am.
I feel like... My baby bird is about to leave the nest.
I'm trying.
Because I would be all over that. But, yeah, that's...
But good, he'd be all over that, Nick. That's a different story. That's a different story.
Man, what is wrong? Got him.
Got him right there. It's over, Johnny.
So we're getting some hilarity on the text. And some hate, but that's all right.
That's every day.
A lot of people saying somebody said that getting the Packer intro would be good. No, it wouldn't.
Of course it would be.
Knock
phenomenal.
It off.
Love you guys.
Someone said, tell Joel to put respect on the name, The Ohio State University. That was from
overtime
Josh.
Overtime at our place ain't getting the, baby.
And then someone said that Barry, pudgy and bloated is not the same as being swole. So, no, you're not swole.
Ouch. They must have been at Subway.
I'm not going to be hating on the truth.
When you're down there placing your order.
You can't hate on the truth. That's not, that's a fact. Look at me.
You've been doing good. You ran a mile the other night.
Dude, I haven't run since then.
Okay, well, at least you got the college try for the first time.
And I had, I have eaten so bad since I ran that mile. It's not even pretty.
Mm-mm. But you know what? There's something to be said about that. The fact that you can just do that. I mean,
you want to. Yeah, but you
I do want
up.
To. There's
you're
no
like
doubt.
That, you're like that chick that loses a lot of weight just so she can grab a man, and then once she's married, you're going to blow back up again, right?
See, I've already kept it off for like 3 years. But uh-huh. I'll tell you this. I'm not shy about knowing that the way my family history runs, there's a good chance that you could stamp Goodyear on my side and fly me over football games if I ate one I wanted to.
Well, I mean, you're from the Midwest, right?
That's potatoes, baby.
Yeah.
Fried food.
Cheese.
Friday nights, it was fish fries all over the Wisconsin area. Just telling you.
Fish fries?
Oh, yeah. Friday night, anywhere in Wisconsin, especially in Milwaukee, Madison, big cities. You go anywhere, and even bars, that's their big deal. Fish
Why?
Fries on Friday night, because you get like $9.99, all you can eat, fish and fries.
What
and
kind of
and
fish?
It's all deep
Catfish?
Fried. Like cod fillets or whatever, but they're like beer battered, deep fried.
Yeah.
And fries, and you can roll through. Normally, it's bottomless.
Really?
And that's why there's a lot of well-insulated people in the Midwest. It's damn good, but
well,
look.
I'm trying to place why fish would be such a big thing in the Midwest, but I'm guessing
well,
the Great Lakes.
Because there's another big thing in the Midwest called Lake Michigan.
The Great Lakes.
And that normally gets it started, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's where I'm trying to place it. I'm like, all right, I guess. Because I could see that, you know, along the Gulf or the East or West Coast, but okay.
So speaking of the Packers, they traded for Nile Davis today. So at least they finally did something based on yesterday when I said that their general manager would never do anything to help the team but say that he drafted the right people and had them on the practice squad.
Boy.
Eddie Lacy's ankle must not be 100% because they traded for the Chiefs' third-string running back. We'll see how that works out. Speaking of injuries, the Texans have some cornerback issues, as we also highlighted earlier this week, which was yesterday. I said, hey, Cromartie's out there. The Colts cut him. You may need him because Kevin Johnson out, broken foot. Though Bill O'Brien doesn't want to speak on K.J. Dillon, looks like out ACL. That means along with a dinged-up Jonathan Joseph, and as recovering from injury, Kareem Jackson, Texans secondary against the Broncos Monday night in the Brock Bowl, might need to address the cornerback issue before that time.
Yeah, man, it's not looking good. They were at one point during the game, one of the safeties made a tackle, and I was like, who the hell is that?
Yeah.
I don't even remember the name of the guy. But it was like, did they just go Aggies and grab a dude out of the stands and put a uniform on him, and that was it?
Well, your 12th man was fired up, by the way, in that Aggie game. The guy that was the 12th man in the Tennessee game?
Oh, yeah.
He was that dude had the mullet and everything. He was jacked up.
He was getting cheap shotted, and he'd stand up and cheer.
Yeah, he was up on the bench and everything.
Yeah.
That was a younger Barry. So we covered the cornerback issues, but the one thing that we covered that we want to say we bring to you before anybody else is we started up yesterday with the Texans fans issue,
mm-hmm.
and we had a lot of feedback early on. But then the players themselves stirred it up at practice yesterday, and it's had a life of its own across this city. Because now it's now in question is, once again, the Texans fandemonium and the fact that people left early. I heard Fred and AJ talking about it on the Blitz. I know that everybody's been talking about it today. I'll get your take on it, Barry. But, you know, my initial take is you can only watch crap stink for so long before you want to head out. I think people saw a lot of bad football, and the Texans, we already talked about Houston fans having kind of that built-in mentality of, if it ain't going good, let's get out of here before the parking lot starts filling up.
Well, do we have the audio? I want to hear it. Play the audio. I want to hear
what... I just want to know, you know, for all the fans who left, I hope their brisket turned out okay. They had to go home and check it, so...
Man, I was pissed because a lot of people walked out the stadium, and, you know, OB tell us, you know, all week... You know, ain't nobody going to believe in us, you know, but the people inside this locker room.
Still have a shot in the game and see half of the stadium empty. It was surprising, to be honest with you. So I never encountered that before, but I guess it is what it is.
You know, it kind of sucks to be one of those fans because when you come back and, we win the game, and it's, you know, it sucks on your part because it just shows your true colors. And at the end of the day, I feel like we showed our true colors, which is a badass football team who can compete and come back and win a football game.
Still a pretty good atmosphere there towards the end. I mean, they got pretty loud there, ones that stayed.
No
here.
Question. And for the fans who did stay, love y'all. Appreciate y'all. Y'all stayed through it all. Those are the true fans. Those are the true fans. Those are the people who, you know, I love to see, you know, we love to see as a unit, you know, the people who stayed out there. Those are the people whose hands I want to shake.
So there you have it.
Yeah.
And I'll say this. This goes back to we've had this discussion before about the McGrady game. Who was there, but then who stayed? But, I mean, again, the players, I think that's not your fish to fry.
So many thoughts. Like, I don't understand why players are trying to demand loyalty in an environment in the NFL that is free agency.
Yeah.
Like, fans are free agents as well. The difference is that fans pay for the ticket and have the right to leave, especially if they're not enjoying the product on the field. And if you play as bad as that team has played over the last three games or more, then you have the right. Because if you want to say that they played well against Tennessee, you obviously didn't watch the game. They needed a fluke return punt to win.
Yeah.
Against the Titans.
I mean, I'm okay with, hey, you paid for the ticket argument, you can do what you want. But they weren't getting their butts kicked.
Like, it was 23-9 with 2.5 minutes to go.
23-9 with
And you had done nothing
on offense. 2.5 minutes to go in the first half.
Not 23-9, 2.5 to go in the game.
You still had two NFL quarters left in the game.
Yeah.
There's a chance to win. There's a chance to come back.
No.
Wait. They were down 14 Sunday night with less than 6 minutes to play.
It was 2.5 minutes left, guys, when they scored the touchdown.
Because that's when I looked at my TV and said, I guarantee you half the stadium's gone.
It was 2:30-something on the clock left
when
they
started. Officially start leaving? It was like 2 minutes into the third quarter.
Oh, I don't care when they left.
I wasn't there.
It doesn't matter when they left. My point is, up until the last 2.5 minutes of the game, they stunk. They played horribly.
Yeah, but I don't think...
You could have left at halftime.
To me, it's
bad.
Okay, but here's the problem in itself, Nick. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
Here's the problem in itself. People in Houston, whether it be at a basketball game or a football game, when they go to halftime, they go 3 minutes before halftime, and if things are good and the drinks are cold and stiff, you may not see them in the third quarter. And then if they're feeling good, no, that's also the Texans, that club level, and I've been that guy, where you go and everything's rolling, the drinks are cold, the scenery's good, and all of a sudden you look up at the big screen and you go, wow, third quarter's almost over. That's such a luxuriously comfortable place to be, those big star bars and all those bars in the club areas. I'm telling you right now, boys, that's a big reason why those guys aren't there in their seats for the third quarter.
Yeah. I mean, to me, the average fan is looking at the score when it comes down to, okay, they were sucking. And if they're down only by two touchdowns, to me, in my opinion, that's not enough to constitute you leaving. Again, you can leave if you want. You paid for the ticket. But I think if it's just a two-score game, even with 6 minutes left in the game, I would stay. That's just me.
Here's the thing, Nick. You bring up the point, and Barry, you can comment on this. Obviously, the thing is I dealt with this personally in a lot of ways, too. And it bothers organizations. But the biggest thing that you can say is it's like an airline ticket. If you pay for that ticket and you bought that ticket, it's yours. And so are those two seats for that game. You can stay as long as you like. You can elect to not go at all. You can go sit somewhere in the stadium and drink if you'd like. But you paid for it, so you can do what you want with it. And no one should have to be able to tell you, or you have to go and sit in your seat and you have to stay till the end.
The problem I have with the players commenting like that is that, you know, the players don't feel any sense of loyalty to a team. And I guarantee you that. Because when they become free agents, they're open to whatever city is going to pay them the most amount of money. So why are they expecting and demanding loyalty from a fan who is the one shelling out the money to begin with? It'd be different if the players were paying fans to watch and then complaining about them leaving early. That would be one thing. But they flipped the whole script in their mind. They're demanding loyalty from players that, unless your name is Craig Biggio and you gave the Astros a hometown discount, there's not a lot of players in the NFL or any other sport that's going to be loyal if there's more money on the table somewhere else. So why are you expecting or demanding loyalty from people who, one, live in a city that's a commuter town where traffic is holy hell trying to get out of a Texans game to begin with? They're lucky. I mean, the Texans are, after that game, they're lucky they didn't get booed so loud they would have to call a timeout. It was horrible. And so it bothers me when you got a free agent environment and no loyalty from players to their city or to their team, expecting loyalty from fans who are paying money to see the product.
And I think fans leave, it has a lot to do with, and I've said this on the air before, that the Texans struggle to come from behind and win a game. And this is a rare situation that they did. And yeah. I think most fans don't expect that.
And no one expected it that night. No one expected Sunday night to all of a sudden step in gear and go three big drives that turned the entire season around. And again, if we go back to last week, I said that this was that game. Because if it had gone like it was going, boy, I'm telling you what. You want to talk about jumping off the bandwagon, there'll be people jumping off ledges. Because that was going to be ugly and awful. They salvaged it by winning, but they're not out of the woods. So it's going to be interesting to see how they come back and bounce back. Because this is another national TV game on Monday night. And this is a game where all eyes are going to be on number 17. And he cannot come out and play as bad as he did for 3.5 quarters against the Colts and expect to do the same thing against one of the best, if not the best, defenses in the NFL, the Denver Broncos. We are ESPN 97.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5.
Up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's Dick's. Dick's Sporting Goods. They're up on a blimp over downtown H-Town today for the second day in a row because Dick's is coming to Houston. Dick's Sporting Goods is going to be a part of the H-Town environment starting this weekend. We're excited about the grand opening of Dick's and the fact that they're going to be proud sponsors of this year's radio station, ESPN 97.5. So in kind of unison with that, we're going to be hanging out at the Dick's at Park West in Katy. The shops at Park West and Katy, Saturday 4 to 6. Travis Johnson, Keenan McCardle, and myself are going to be there. Come on out and meet the guys. All day long, we're going to have appearances from guys at the station. Raheel's going to be there twice. I don't know how that worked out, but Friday and Sunday are Raheel days. I think Saturday's a honeydew day. I know that all the guys are going to be spread out at different Dick's locations, but kind of fired up about the one-stop shop because Dick's is also associated with, what, Golf Galaxy? And also one of the outdoor stores. So they're taking over. They're going to be all over the place. So there you have that.
Okay.
How about that? All right.
Hey.
That means there's text on the agenda.
Yeah. Well, no, we can get back to that. There are a ton of texts, by the way. We should probably do that, but we should get to the calls. But then once we get these calls out of the way, I have a question for you about the Texans and their offensive line.
Okay. Here we go. Cowboy in Houston wants to talk about fans leaving the game. Cowboy, welcome into the show.
You bet you. I've been a football fan in Houston, Texas since 1960 with Bud Adams and Lou Rempkus and the Houston Oilers.
Do you know Barry Warner?
Right on up to the day.
Cowboy. Hey, slow down there, Cowboy. Cowboy, you know Barry Warner?
I don't know him, but I know of him.
Okay, yes. That's all we needed there. All right. Go ahead, my man. What do you got?
What's your question?
And if these Texans think they are a badass football team, go up there to Denver and kick their ass 14, 17 points and show me that they're a badass football team and quit talking about it. Show me something.
Okay, but what
we
about
spend our money, and Wolford him talking about his brisket stuff. He's done broke J.J. Watts down running around his fat butt out there on that field carrying him. So it's time for him to show up and do something besides run his mouth and all the rest of them too.
Cowboy, if that brisket was from H-E-B, though, you know, J.J. would approve.
And hey, if I'd have known where Wolford lived, I'd have went and stole his biscuit off his basket, off his pit, and left him a little pack of baloney.
Off his what?
I'd have went and stole his brisket off his pit. Wolford,
oh, his pit? I wasn't sure what you said there. Well, you know what? We like your passion.
And left him a little pack of baloney.
We don't want to know about your little pack of baloney, Cowboy, but I do like your passion. I like the fact that you're honest. So you're okay with the fans leaving early, right, because of the performance on the field?
Yes, I am. And, you know, they should have showed the cheerleaders and give somebody something to look at instead of the way they were playing sorry football. And if Indianapolis Colts hadn't have made some stupid coaching situations, they wouldn't have won that game.
I always tell you, too, Cowboy, if my aunt had outdoor plumbing, it'd be my uncle. But at the same time, I can't argue with you because for 50-some minutes, that was kind of a crap show going on down there.
If they call that football, I don't want to watch it.
Well, we want to hear from you more often, Cowboy. You got to call in because you infuse energy into this show. You bring it. And we appreciate you listening, and we want you to not be a stranger. Thanks for the call, my man. Bill, you've been holding a long time, Bill. You kind of want to switch gears on us, but... Gary is always focused on making sure we take the calls regardless. So we want to take your call, Bill. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Scott. Hey, about this Colin Kaepernick stuff, everyone has their opinions, but has anyone asked the amphitheaters what exactly has to happen before they stop kneeling? Like, is there concrete stuff like this thing has to happen? You know, my thing is with it, which social issues are worthy of kneeling for the anthem, then? Like, why is this issue spent more than, like, you know, how homeless people are treated or disabled veterans or, you know, something like that? It just, a lot of things are people's rights, but that doesn't mean that you should do it. You know, you could go disrespecting elderly people, you know, and homeless people that you have the right to do that. That doesn't make it a good idea. I just don't get it, guys.
Well, Bill, to answer your question, I think when they feel like there's been change that that they want to see. I mean, you can't dictate when it's time for someone to stop protesting about something. And then you can't dictate what people protest or don't protest. I mean, if somebody's passionate about something, if you wanted to go out and protest about a specific social issue that you want to see change in, that's your right. Go do it and don't stop until you see the change, till you feel like the change that you wanted to see is occurring. And so I would say the answer to your question is maybe they stop when they feel like they've either made their point and the wheels are in motion to make the changes they want to see, or maybe they don't stop. Maybe they keep doing it until they're no longer in the NFL. But that's their right to do it. So I don't know that you can say, well, there's got to be a hard stop, right? Like, there's got to be a national mandate that says that I mean, I don't even know. I mean, there's it's a social conscience movement. That's what it is. It's not, there's no hard beginning and end to it.
So the one thing I want to know where you are on this. I think it was last night's game. I think that it's gotten to the point now where no one during the anthem was kneeling, but after the anthem, I saw a player kneel to pray, and the network had to go and investigate because they thought that it was a tardy kneeling of the anthem, only to find out that he was just praying. I mean, at that point, I mean, I think that we're paying the wrong kind of attention to it.
Well, you got to understand that the media they need the eyes, whether it be, you know, clicks on a website for a picture. They need the views on TV. So, of course, they're going to show it because that's footage that can be re-shown and rerun during newscasts that are on their stations and so forth. So it's about a little bit of sensationalism on their part. And they think that that's what the hot topic is. I mean, the media is the worst at hot take situations.
Tell me more about this media.
I think that they're going to go. You know, I mean, they're going to show that, and they're going to make those assumptions.
In that situation, I just think they're not trying. They're just trying to keep you on that particular TV channel and showing that footage.
I think they're just trying to keep it going for the wrong reason.
TV clickbait is what it is.
Yeah.
That's essentially what it is. And it is a hot take and a hot topic because everyone knows why they're doing it. And yet we still have, well, why is he doing this? It's no question of why he's doing it. I mean, you either show it or you don't.
Well, and that's the interesting thing, too, because one week ESPN refused to show the anthem because of it during the preseason. And then the next week they were investigating and asking who was going to kneel down and showed all of it because they realized it was such a hot topic. So it's hypocritical.
Yeah.
This media you speak of, I'm interested in it. I may try and get involved in it someday.
We got a text. Somebody says, I was at the game and I left early because the Texans have a history of playing awful in prime time. It was nauseating watching that offense. But
you seen their record?
Yeah, they're 4-2.
On national games?
6-10.
It's like worse than that. It's like 6-20.
He said literally there were people around him asleep. Well, that's just because they drank too much. But and the defense was getting exposed. I don't regret it. And hearing players criticize it instead of understanding it makes me want to save my money next time. That's exactly right. That's my point. And that was from Cliff. Thanks, Cliff, for the text. That's the point. I mean, you can't. The fans have the right. They are the end. It's like this radio show. We can't get mad. I'm not going to get mad at someone for changing the dial if they don't like our show or don't like the way that we do things on this show. That's your right. I'm certainly not going to be like, oh, you listened for the first 2 hours and then you left because you didn't like the show? Oh, well, that just pisses me off. There's no loyalty in the radio business. You're the end user. You're the customer.
That's why I always say with these cowardly text messages. That's my big thing. Is you have options. You take them. Use them. Just like you said with protests. You're in America. You can choose to do whatever you want to do. If you want to protest, protest. If you want to listen to another radio station, listen to another radio station. But don't sit there in the process and on your way out, try and, you know, hide behind a rock and take shots at us. Look, we might not be the cup of tea for everyone. We just hope that a lot of people decide that their caffeine infusion comes from 97.5. That's why we are ESPN, 97.5 FM.
Is Dick's Sporting Goods Week on ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, we're here until 4 p.m. It's Joel and Gary and Dick behind the glass. Dick's got his own sporting goods store. He's coming to Houston this weekend. It's a big deal. You guys should be there. Check the website. We're going to be making appearances all weekend. We've got a lot of things we haven't gotten to. We've got plenty that we've covered. If you missed it, you missed some great talk on the Texans, as always. You missed some talk on the quarterback situation in Houston and in other places. And what quarterback would you take to open up next season for your Houston Texans if your options were Jay Cutler, Tony Romo, or Brock Osweiler? We threw that out there. We talked about the fans leaving early, which was something that was on everybody's mind. We talked about the SEC being up or down and conference by conference, how many teams are in the top 25. So that was something worth speaking about. By the way, again, the tree fell in the woods last night, and the football game sucked, by the way. So yeah. I'm one of those people, of course, that was still watching baseball and watching both games. But the Indians look like they're going to the World Series. I'm not sure who would have bet on that, but I will say this. Darren Revelle posted a tweet today of a guy that on January the 4th bet at 18-1 odds that the Indians would win the World Series this year.
Had to be an Indians fan.
Yeah, and he said he was an Indians fan, but that's a pretty good bet, and regardless of what you put on it.
It's working out.
So that's working out so far. But part of the deal last night, and in case you missed it, this was one of those bizarre but trues. And also, you kind of question again what fans were doing or what players were doing in their spare time that they have to be playing with drones. But Indians starting pitcher Trevor Bauer, who basically was the ace of the staff all year long, even though Corey Kluber's there too. Kluber wasn't his normal self for the year, but still a good pitcher, as he's proven in the postseason. Trevor Bauer starts the game, but they had to hold him back for a while because he had been playing with his drone and cut his finger. So he deemed himself ready to play and fit to pitch last night, in which a horror film broke out about three batters in when it looked like someone literally opened up a hose of blood on his pinky finger.
10 stitches on it, right?
Yeah, it was just all over the place. Nasty. And they finally had to take him out of the game. But it was crazy to see on national TV. And even Ernie and the guys are like, what is this is getting kind of out of hand. He was trying to wipe it on his jersey and it just kept flowing out. So we had that. That caused the Indians to go to a plethora of their pitching staff. The one that they can go to each and every time that has been like their ace in the hole, literally. Andrew Miller is literally lights out when he comes into ball games. He has been Terry Francona's saving grace. And because of it, the Indians up 3-0 over the Blue Jays. Dodgers tied at 1 with the Cubs tonight, by the way.
Yeah.
At home at Chavez Ravine. Jake Arrieta to take the mound against Rich Hill.
Wasn't that the matchup? I'm trying to think. Never mind. That's incorrect thought on my part.
Yeah, you didn't voice what you were thinking, which is always awkward radio.
Yeah. Well, I jumped the gun there. Never mind.
But Arrieta has pitched a no-no at Chavez. Yeah. So it'll be interesting. Travis Johnson, Dodgers fan. Keenan McCardale and others in this station, Cubs fan, waiting for the Dodgers to crash and burn for Trapp. But Arrieta over Hill, I would say chances tonight probably go to the Cubs' favor on a pitching matchup only.
Yeah?
Cubs bats have to start. I mean, they have just not been what they've been all year in this series.
No. Well, it seems like
Kershaw,
I was looking at when I started looking at the lineups from last night, because I was perplexed as to why Joey Bautista was leading off.
Right.
But then I saw that they moved Tulowitzki up in the lineup as well to 4. So it made sense from a move standpoint to get to 4 best bats in the lineup and try to get Joey Bats going.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it seems like numbers across the board are down from an offensive perspective from these guys. So
yeah, even the Blue Jays perspective. I mean, that was an offensive juggernaut that was really heating up at the right time just to get into the
other than Donaldson,
league championship series.
Who's in the cover off the ball?
He's raking.
But
Encarnacion has slowed down, and Joey Bats has slowed down. And even Russell Martin, who's a pretty good hitting catcher, has slowed down. So the Blue Jays look like they're on life support.
Yep.
The other series is good.
So are you thinking Cubs-Indians?
I think it's Cubs-Indians.
Is that what it's looking like?
I think it's Cubs-Indians, although my wife and mother-in-law are from huge Dodger fans, so they're pulling for the Dodgers real hard. But I'll say this. It does set up nicely for the Dodgers to see Kershaw. If you can see Kershaw 2 more times,
yeah,
then you can't rule the Dodgers out.
True statement. Yeah.
So I even had to
eat a little crow because I think a week ago when we were talking about what's the one guy you would pick between Bumgarner and Kershaw. Yeah. Man, Kershaw's nasty.
I said that, man.
We said
at the time, you can't go wrong with either guy.
Yeah.
But Kershaw, because he brings just a little bit more power in terms of the power pitching game, as well as a nasty set of pitches and his breaking stuff. Boy, I'll tell you what, the thing that he's done, and having pitched the majority of my young life, the way he bounces back on short rest, both guys, Baumgartner did the same thing, but man, I'm telling you what, to be a power pitcher and to bounce back, you know, a day after you pitched, what, 7, and you get the, you pitch, what, 6 out save,
yeah,
and then you bounce back on short rest again against the Cubs, arguably the best team in baseball, shut them down on 2 hits, he's special.
Yeah, he is. And I like the when he got that save. Did you notice that when he was I forget who he replaced. I blanked on their closer. But you can see him mouthing, "I got your back,"
mm-hmm,
when he went in there and got that 2-inning save.
I don't Laminack. Why do you got a blank?
Huh?
You blanked on something. I don't Laminack on things.
Oh, all right. I'm going to need you to stop that.
I will say this, though. I give Dave Roberts credit.
Uh-huh.
Because he even admitted in the postgame, which he didn't have to do, he admitted he went to the mound with the intention of taking Kershaw out of the game. And when glove went over mouth, I'm sure some things went out over his lips weren't going to be ready for primetime television. But Robert said, hey, for whatever reason, he had a fire that I didn't want to interrupt, and I left him out there, and it turned out for him. Although Kershaw even said he thought it was gone. The next batter, the second baseman that drove it to center field, he said off the bat he thought it was gone and he might have screwed up, but he got out of it and it all turned out well in the end.
Yeah, we're making Lamont yawn, just so you know. He said baseball talk with no Astros playing. I'll get back with y'all.
And since Lamont is our only audience member and the one that we care about most, we can also turn the page.
David Navarro had a good tweet. He said, one thing I noticed is that when the Texans lose, no one has their little car flags out. But when they get a win, there they go. They're out everywhere. Why is that?
I saw an 18-wheeler with a full-sized flag.
Do you have Texas those eyelashes flag on your car?
No, but I bet you got the red nose.
You don't have the eyelashes over the headlights? I bet you do.
No, because I don't drive a chick car like you. That's the difference.
I drive a truck. What are you talking about?
I've got a pair on my Beetle.
You got eyelashes?
You're hoopty?
Good for you.
Yeah. You're hoopty?
You go, girl.
Oh, and I did that again.
You go, girl.
Lamont, the next segment's for you, because you fit right into that
we're bringing back
genre
football.
That I said. You Houston people, you don't care about baseball unless your Astros are involved.
I've got a lot of texts to read. These are really good texts.
Here we go. Yeah. Marion Texts and more, ESPN 97.5 FM.
This is Dick's Sporting Goods Week on ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.